It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. We go. We are off and running for this 26th day of March 2020. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday here at the Horn. And it is also the, at least here in almost level West by Coal, socially distant since 1863 Trump Virginia stand. It is the most beautiful day of 2020 thus far. Blue skies, 70 degrees. Here inside the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, it is 79 degrees, which means something else. You know, back when I was back in Alabama, we tried the whole Facebook thing for a while. A lot of y'all enjoyed tuning in via Facebook and getting a video feed for some reason or another. But not today. No, today you'll be saying, thank God, or the Flying Spaghetti Monster, or nothing at all. Whatever deity you prefer yourself, thank God he's not sending video. Yes, because with this, the most beautiful day of 2020, comes the return of Naked Radio. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. And it is glorious for anybody who doesn't have to see it. Right. Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob. And We have Titanic stuff to catch up on today, and new Titanic stuff. Probably be talking some about the so-called relief bill that passed the Senate late last night, and it passed. It now goes over to the House, and the House gets to tinker with it. Like I said, we'll talk about that some. Probably rather a lot, really, if you get right down to it. But just a couple of entertainment notes. I had a note from Robert in Australia. Star Wars 9. That's okay. Kind of like our Chinese restaurant. It's okay. It's not good. It's not great. It's not terrible. It's okay. Robert says, yesterday afternoon, expecting the worst after all the reviews, I sat down and watched Star Wars 9. It's actually okay. It answers a few outstanding questions and wraps up the storyline nicely. And it's got lots of new merch opportunities. That probably was the most important deciding factor in the making of that film, the new merchandising opportunities. And last night, Ron in Raleigh asked me if I had yet seen Midway. Well, last night after the program was over, I watched Midway. And it wasn't terrible. It was okay. Two okay film reviews to begin the program here on this 26th day of March, the return of Naked Radio. But in a way, there was big splashy explosions and stuff, and the acting was okay. But, they did it all with CGI. And it kind of showed.
And I found it interesting that a whole bunch of for a whole bunch of sailors talking, they had surprisingly clean verbiage. I think there were a couple of dams and but there was an ass, but it was pretty much a PG-13 kind of movie. And Ron and Raleigh pointed out that he said all the carriers at Midway were constructed in Newport News. My father worked as a ship fitter on all of them. Is that 2 degrees of separation? Maybe only one. I don't know. But it was an interesting. They did a decent job with the storyline. And one of the best things about it was it did not involve having to watch Charlton Heston over emote. You better watch your ass, mister, or some hot shot Jap pilot's gonna flame your ass. No. That was the best part of the film. No Charlton Heston. Get your hands off me, you. Mm-hmm. The 1970s version of Midway, I thought, other than the Charlton Heston part, did a little bit better job. I think probably because the people who fought the battle were still alive at the time and could actually serve as consultants on the film. Not a bad movie. Now, what continues to astonish me is that no one has yet made a film out of James Hornfisher's history. Vulcan's Inferno or something like that. It's the story. It's the Navy half of the story of Guadalcanal. And then there's Last Stand of the Tin Can Sailors, which is another of his books that really does deserve to be turned into film. Because, see, the thing is, there's this overall overarching thing about the war in the Pacific. It's like, well, there was Pearl Harbor, and then there was Midway, and then we won. Didn't quite go down that way. But if you now that a lot of us have some time on our hands, if you want to read just a harrowing piece of American history, those two, Neptune's Inferno, not Vulcan's, Neptune's Inferno and Last Stand of the Tin Can Sailors by James Hornfisher are both magnificent pieces of naval history writing. And not a damn thing dry about them. See what I did there? Naval, dry. I knew the announcement of Naked Radio would resonate with some. Naked Radio, Lee in New York says, thanks for taking only 3 minutes to start ruining dinner. Well, yes, I understand. Billable Rick says, Naked Radio, Bob, you're getting a letter from Ron's lawyers. Inasmuch as it's Naked Radio season again, you must periodically check and wash your hands. Oh, there'll be some hand washing. Yes. But it's, don't touch your face applies to other parts of the human anatomy as well. God. Hey, just trying to lighten the mood a little bit. Make things not quite so grim and foreboding. I mean, there's a benefit to that, right? I hope. But, by the way, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program being no different. And so thanks go out today to our 26th of the month subscribers. And that would be Michael and Madison and Peter. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Peter, for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to make it possible for whomever wants to listen to it to be able to do so. Remember, we We don't charge. Everything, this is, we try to run this on an as non-capitalist a model as we possibly can. Our fundraising goal for the evening is $300. And thanks to those beginning with our buddy Paul, who kept it from being $400 yesterday. So we got $300 to go. And let's see, today, tomorrow, and then Monday and Tuesday. And that's the end of March. So hopefully we'll be able to finish the week in good stead. 300 to finish, 300 for this evening, 200 tomorrow. And, you know, crossing fingers. Right. If you'd like to help out, of course, the PayPal button is over at headon.live, and it's pretty easy to get through. See, I got a couple of things I have to do housekeeping-wise. Because I got to confess, I was about 35 seconds late to the microphone because, well, Agnes had to get out the Horn solar-powered cattle prod to get me inside. It was beautiful, and you know, I'm working on some barbecue right now. And thawing out the outside refrigerator, that kind of stuff. And just reveling in feeling warmth again on my pale pink hide. Yeah. So that's why I was a few seconds late. The barbecue should be fantastic. I'll take some down to our daughter and grandkids and carry some over to Lewis and a few of my other friends and, you know, leave them socially at an acceptable social distance. And hopefully folks will enjoy it. Because that's the exciting life that I lead. I've got a note from Steve from North Carolina. He says, hope you and the family are doing well as can be expected. Thank you. Same to you, Steve. First and foremost, another member of the fraternity of Steve, I might add. First and foremost, I want to talk to you and the head-on community and thank you for helping everyone get through this. So this is my COVID-19 story. I started feeling like the pollen was getting to me from these nice, warm North Carolina days. Since this past Friday, I had a slight cough, nothing major. Then Monday, had body aches start with the cough, so I'm starting to think something's not right. Tuesday rolls around. Against my better judgment, I go to work, but self-quarantine as much as I can. I'm feeling even worse during this whole time. No fever whatsoever. I make it through my shift and come home. Wednesday, I wake up like I got the worst flu, coughing, body aches, and just tired, but still no fever, and I stay home from work because, you know, I know something's wrong, and it's not allergies. I know that by now. My wife's a nurse, and she asks me last night, you think you got COVID-19? I do my little research, and nope, I can't get a test because I have no fever. So I call up my primary care doc at Duke Medical. I'm so glad to have a hospital like this so close to me. So they set me up with a phone appointment, and I talk to my doctor. I explain my symptoms to the doctor, and she tells me that she can't test me and that she's pretty sure that I have a mild case of COVID-19. Goes on to tell me she's seeing cases like mine all the time, and community spread is getting bad. So I'm under quarantine until 72 hours after my symptoms resolve. I just want the community to take this seriously, and if you don't feel right, take the proper precautions. So now my wife has to jump through many hoops to get a test so she can go back to work as a nurse at a long-term care facility. They sent her home as soon as I informed her of what the doctor told me. This is just crazy. We should be shutting everything down and testing until we get a handle on the virus. I hope I'm one of the lucky ones with a mild case, and hope I can help someone from keep someone from getting a bad case. I have age and no underlying conditions in my favor. I just wanted to give the community this bit of info. Thanks. Signed, Steve, from North Carolina. Steve, thanks for sharing that. Thank you very kindly for sharing that. This is, it's terrifying. And I don't think there's any shame in saying so. And I know you must be scared. And I hope that you'll continue to feel comfortable reaching out and sharing with us and giving us the benefit of what you're learning as you go along. And we will we'll stay in communication, and we'll hopefully keep each other's spirits up, and you hopefully will resolve with nothing more than aggravation. So again, thank you, Steve, and our thoughts are with you and with your wife and with everyone there in your community. Thank you. Thank you very kindly indeed. Note coming in from Dave. We're in the double digits now on the great Johns Hopkins scoreboard here in Humboldt. The contagion seems to be skipping over certain segments of geography at this point. Everyone in Northern California knows the only reason Tehama County exists is to give the FedEx long haulers a chance to drive 85 miles an hour for a while before they slow down to look at the Shasta volcano. There's no reason to stop in Tehama County. Is it Hama or Hama? Sorry, ignorance on my part. Unless you're going to buy a Ford 3/4-ton 4x4 lifted pickup, otherwise known as a growdozer in these parts. A wide spot in the road calls itself Corning in Tehama County. 19 churches, one shuttered up Main Street in Corning Ford. I asked the salesman there how they separated the men from the boys here in Tehama County. With a crowbar, my good friend, he replied. I decided to try CarMax instead. Signed, nothing to do but talk smack about counties with no COVID cases, Dave. Okay, the bar is officially laying on the ground, having been lowered, yes. Darlene, with a note for Steve from North Carolina, take care and get well soon. You are a warrior. Thank you for that, Darlene. See, this is what I mean. Our little community will lift up each in our individual members and provide an ear, a shoulder, virtually, whatever is necessary to get us through this. What does Nitwit Nero call it? Scourge. Scourge rhymes with George. Not scourge rhymes with urge. Scourge rhymes with gorge. Yeah. So. Thanks to Great Scott, says Billable Rick. I want to pass on thanks to Scott for the viewing tip on TCM last night. I hadn't seen It's a Mad World in years, let alone with some edibles in my system. No smoking for me during this COVID-19 season. I thoroughly enjoyed the movie and got some much-needed belly laughs. I did forget how annoying Ethel Merman's character was in that film and how much her tone of voice grated on the audience, intentionally so. So, Scott, thanks for scouting the upcoming attractions so that I don't have to. Oh, she's... Ethel Merman is just a... Her character is horrible. And when Buddy Hackett says that line, everybody in the viewing audience is like, yes! Because even though everybody in the film, to one degree or another, is loathsome, she's just, not you, lady. I hope you drop dead. So So where to begin with the madness today? Well, the the so-called stimulus, I guess. And of course the pandemic. Jesus. Britain's Imperial College published another report today. They say that the death toll from the coronavirus pandemic, even with swift and stringent measures to slow it and stop it, could hit 1.8 million people. 1.8 million dead. We've gone over the 500,000 mark. And if we hadn't started doing what we are doing so far, Imperial College says that if we just let it burn around the planet, almost every human being on this planet could have been infected in this single year. But their modeling data, with strict containment measures, shows a death rate of 0.2 per 100,000 of population per week. And that works out to 1.86 million people. And 470 million people infected this year. Now, slowing the response leads to a 1.6 deaths per 100,000 population per week. And that takes the death toll up to 10.45 million human beings and 2.4 billion people infected. God. And yet, somehow or another, you've still got horrible governors out there who still refuse to do the right thing. And in Republican states, one wonders if there will be any repercussions. Bit of a grim analysis coming out of Minnesota. The governor there, Tim Walz, yesterday declared that while they're trying to keep deaths from surging, he said that for Minnesota, it's too late to flatten the curve. The objective of everything we're doing here is it's too late to flatten the curve. The testing regimen was not in place soon enough for us to be able to do that. So what our objective is now is to move the infection rate out, slow it down, buy time. If we get to a situation, which we've seen in certain parts of the world, and the place we cannot get to is when someone can't get that ICU care, we will see the death rates skyrocket. And he's counting, he's pretty much figuring that there's going to be a second wave of infections, so he's trying to get things in place there to flatten that curve when it comes. Oh, and by the way, looking over at the big coronavirus board, not inspiring. We've crossed the 500,000 total confirmed cases mark. According to this chart, we're still barely in third place. We will overtake Italy probably in the next several hours to land at number two. And then probably in a day or so, we'll be, that's right, number one. Gary, labor man, said, USA, USA, USA. We just surged to number one on the virus map. What a shame and horror. It didn't have to be this way. And there is a reason it is this way. And that reason has a name, and that name is Donald John Trump. I had a little graphic from our buddy Robert in Morgantown. It's a kind of a timeline. January 22nd, 2020.
We have it under control. It's going to be just fine.
The number of reported U.S. cases was one. Those are reported cases, of course. That's not the same as how many cases do we have. Because at the risk of becoming, you know, all Alex Jones, I'm convinced now, just looking backwards, and I was talking with our buddy Steve in New York about this. And you know, I'm no mathematician, and I'm certainly no scientist. But if you take into account the incubation period, 5 to 15 days, and you take into account the fact that China said they first noticed it in December. At the 1st of December, and you take into account the fact that China is an authoritarian, information-averse state, desperate to retain some sense of nationalistic pride and to protect at all costs the dictatorial regime in place there. Well, if they publicly say they noticed it at the 1st of December, then you're back into mid-November for the incubation period, the exposure, and probably early November even. And from a sociological, anthropological standpoint, I got to thinking about it. You know, Lunar New Year happened in early January, the Chinese Lunar New Year celebration. But I wonder if there's some sort of a celebration that takes place in, mid-November, when you got to have just that really, really special meal. You know, deep-fried, Szechuan pangolin. You find that moment, and you'll probably find the moment when the disease gets loose. So I'm convinced that it has been here a hell of a lot longer than what is being led on, because it was gaining ground in China at a time when nobody knew, because in epidemiology, you're always behind whatever's coming at you. And so on January 22nd, when COVID Caligula
said, we have it under control, it's going to be just fine,
and we had one reported U.S. case, it's obvious we had way more than one case. But had we had a competent occupant of the chief magistracy, the presidency, and we had moved to lock things down right then, maybe we wouldn't be about to be number one in the world with a bullet in infections. So that was January 22nd. On February 10,
it'll go away in April. We're in great shape.
And there were 11 reported cases. 16 days later, on February 26th, he said,
within a couple of days, we'll be close to zero. We've got like 15 now, and it'll be five, and then zero.
on that day there were 57 cases. The next day it was at 58, and he said, it'll disappear like a miracle. Then on February 28th, the penultimate day of a leap year February, he said, it's the Democrats' new hoax. When he went to one of his filthy rallies, and of course it was probably running around that space then too. 60 cases. 5 days later, March 4th,
people recover, some of them just by going to work.
149 cases. And by then, 11 dead. 2 days later, on March the 6th,
anybody can get a test who wants a test, and the tests are perfect, just like the letter and the phone call were perfect.
262 infections in the United States and 14 dead. March 7th, he played golf. 402 people had the disease then. 17 were dead. March 8th, he goes back around the track, back out to the links, and 518 people have it, and 21 people are dead. On March the 13th, he answered straight up,
I don't take responsibility. I don't take responsibility for anything,
because there were 2,179 cases, and by then 47 people had died. Three days later, March 16th.
Our response to the coronavirus, the Chinese virus, our response is totally a 10.
And 4,632 people had it on March 16th, 10 days ago. And 85 people were dead. The following day, March 17th,
we've done a fantastic job.
And 6,421 people had the virus, and 108 were dead. 4 days later, March the 21st, he said,
if we had 2 or 3 months, we could have done much better.
Well, they knew about it in mid-December when the Chinese government admitted it and started sharing out the actual virus for study. But when he said that on March 21st, if he'd only had more, 2 or 3 months lead time, which he had, by then 25,489 people had the virus and 307 were dead. And then 2 days ago, 53,740 with 706 dead. And in 2 days' time, 2 days' time, we're now at 80,021. Yeah. In New York City alone, there are 281 deaths. King County, Washington has 100 deaths. New Jersey has 63. Greater New York State has 49. Louisiana has 46. Georgia has 32. Wayne County, Michigan has 26. Suffolk County, New York has 20. Santa Clara County, California has 17. Nassau County, New York has 17 deaths. 16 deaths in Snohomish, Washington. 15 in Oakland, Michigan. 14 deaths in British Columbia. 14 in Cook County, Illinois. 13 in Los Angeles. 12 in Fairfield, Connecticut. Jefferson Parish in Louisiana. The other number was just Orleans Parish. Jefferson Parish has 12. Macomb County in Michigan has 11. Massachusetts generally has 9. Riverside County, California has 8. 7 in Dallas, Texas. 7 in New South Wales, where our buddy Robert is. Daugherty County, Georgia has 6. Marion County, Indiana has 6. Clark County, Nevada has 6. Bergen County, New Jersey has 6. Milwaukee, Wisconsin has 6. 5 in Sacramento. 5 in San Mateo. 5 in El Paso, Colorado. 5 in Rockland, New York. Weld County, Colorado has 4. Orange County, Florida has 4. East Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where they had 1,800 good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians all a-rubbing and a-smollicking on each other. East Baton Rouge, Louisiana has 4. Essex, New Jersey has 4. Nevada, generally, 4. Chittenden, Vermont, 4. Vermont, generally, 4. Benton, Washington, 4. And I'm not even halfway down the list. And there is a cause. There is cause and effect. And the cause is the ego and the diseased mind of Donald J. Trump. True enough, Lee says, do not report it as people who have the virus. They are people who we know have it. It is likely that many have it, and we will never know. It's only the known cases that you're citing, and that is so true, Lee. Thanks for the reminder. And, yeah, it's being reported widely that despite what's on the one Johns Hopkins site that I consult, that we have just passed China for numbers of confirmed cases. Please be safe. Do what you can. Make it personal. Take it personally. Let's see. Ralphs and Steve both sent me some information on festivals in China. In Wuhan. And you know, it really doesn't matter now. It's here. But from September to October is the International Tourist Festival in Wuhan. Begins at the end of September and stretches through October. Lots of parades and performances from artists all over the country. And Steve points out that the current death rate, according to the Johns Hopkins site, the mortality rate is 4.5%. That's 45 times the 0.1% that the flu carries.
It's just like the flu. We have the flu every year. 25,000 people die, but we don't shut down the economy for that. Lots of people die in car wrecks, but we don't shut down. We don't stop driving cars.
Fuck him. Fuck him with a white, and I do mean white hot poker. There's a nasty bit of infection going on aboard a ship, a U.S. naval vessel, an aircraft carrier, which is a floating city of sorts. They are describing the infection as affecting dozens of members of the crew. Thank you, Sparky, for that. It's the USS Theodore Roosevelt, CVN 71. And it's been diverted to Guam, where all 5,000 sailors and pilots and aircrew aboard will then be tested. So they got 5,000 tests in Guam. That's good to know. There aren't 5,000 tests among 1.7 million people in West Virginia. Acting Secretary of the Navy, because we can't have a real Secretary of the Navy because Nitwit Nero is smarter than all the admirals. Acting Secretary of the Navy, Thomas Modley, said sailors flown off the ship are doing fine. None required hospitalization, mild aches and pains, sore throats. And they're in quarantine now on Guam. Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Mike Gilday said, our medical team aboard USS Theodore Roosevelt is performing testing for the crew consistent with CDC guidelines, and we're working to increase the rate of testing as much as possible. Jesus, plague ships. Gilday continued and said, we're taking this day by day. Our top two priorities are taking care of our people and maintaining mission readiness. Both of those go hand in glove. Oh, I'm sorry. They don't have 5,000 test kits. They have 800 test kits aboard, and more are being delivered. Down in South Carolina, David there reports that McGovernor just announced he's going to lift restrictions by Easter. People can worship. David says, Bob, it hasn't even hit us yet. The mad fools. Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, I hate to be so critical of this country as a whole, but it took a failed businessman failing to address a pandemic correctly, or at all, to expose America for everything it is and everything it is not, like nothing ever has before. Don't know why the volume's down. It does appear to be, though. Here, let me... There, I'll get up on the mic a little bit more. Kyle adds, I would be afraid to know the actual numbers of all the people who died from COVID-19 but may not have been confirmed to have had it due to lack of testing. That is, I don't even have words for this anymore, Kyle says. I don't know, Randy. Randy says, if the virus hates sunshine, then I wonder if possibly it hates vitamin D3 supplements as well. Andy says, I've got a dry cough, and I don't know if I have the virus, but I'm not going anywhere near a hospital. I'm simply self-isolating. Well, try the D3. Anything you can do to boost your immune system, Ester C, if you can get it. Please explain, says Ron in Raleigh, how in the name of all things holy does this bumbling buffoon have a 55% approval of his handling of the COVID-19 virus? We get more stupid by the day. The stock market shot up 5% while the unemployment rate skyrockets. The stock market has no relation to the health of the economy for everyday folks. It absolutely doesn't. But the stock market knows a good thing when it sees it, and they know that they're getting ready to be able to back the truck up and just start carrying out wheelbarrows full of cash. Because, see, while the Senate did pass the bill, with some with some modifications, there's still a $500 billion slush fund for Donald Trump to pour into his preferred and favored companies. Struggling companies like cruise ship lines. How much you want to bet that they got stocks in the cruise ship industry?
I don't have any stock.
Liar. Yeah. Asa asks, isn't it curious how in the midst of this worldwide madness, Russia is ominously quiet? Putin, we have no virus in our country. Sure you don't, Vladdy. Darlene letting us know Fairfield County, Connecticut is the epicenter in Connecticut, and guess what? It is considered a burb of New York City. Well, all of Connecticut has been called a burb of New York, which pisses me off to no end and to which I vehemently disagree, but I digress. Glad you're reading the COVID-19 deaths list, as tragic as this list is. We need a shame-on-you list for rich corporations and billionaires like Jeff Bezos who are asking for a handout from the government, i.e. the taxpayers, during this tragic time. You know, you and me, they're the ones with the disease, a disease of the mind and the soul, assuming the latter exists. What was it that the people of the Valley of Mexico said of the Spanish? Or maybe the Spanish said it of themselves. They told Moctezuma, they said, we have a disease of the heart, and it can only be cured by gold. Darlene asks, have you noticed the military-industrial complex has been awfully disturbingly quiet about the virus until now? The MIC hits all the triggers to the virus to spread rapidly, doesn't it? People in close proximity traveling to or being out of the country and so forth. Militaries are always highly susceptible to disease. The father of Pompey the Great marched on Rome and then promptly had his army wiped out by dysentery because he didn't do proper hygiene. Oh, dear. James in Illinois says, Don's daily airing of grievances is happening now. First the bragging, followed by the list of world leaders with whom he has a
very good relationship.
And then comes the list of grievances. I just can't listen anymore to his fictitious meanderings. Meanderings and maunderings. Maunderings, yeah. Trying to find the Senate roll call vote. You know, I think it would be responsible journalism if with every story there was a link saying, and here's the roll call vote. Yeah, frustrating. Ah, thank you. Fab pointing out another great quote. The love of possession is a disease with them. Sitting Bull said that. That's not it. Oh, well, maybe somebody will find it in the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. The reason, Steve says, the reason in New York, the reason his approval rating is going up is because Joe Biden has been largely absent and showing nearly no leadership. I tend to disagree, Steve. I think his numbers are going up primarily because people think that he's going to give them free money. True enough, yeah. Darlene says the sitting bull, quote, deserves a cowbell. So there you go, Fab. Thanks for that. David in South Carolina, Stan, informing us. Vlad just sent troops to help Italy. Yeah, you don't want their help. Over on Twitter, Stu Cameron wrote, I'm at the point now that I wouldn't be surprised if the older Trump kids bought a coffin manufacturing business. And this is something I was thinking about. Kyle with a note, all caps. I think Kyle's yelling now. Sorry, Kyle. Didn't mean to do that to you. Why does anyone besides Fox News and Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, even show this piece of shit's Daily Festivus 45 minutes hate stream of consciousness anyway? Stop airing his bullshit and lies. It's dangerous. Chaucer from The Pardoner's Tale, courtesy of Flavio. Radix malorum est cupiditas. The root of all evil is cupidity. And that doesn't have anything to do with a little flying baby with a bow and arrows. And just as predicted, thank you, Ralphs. Trump's longstanding ties to the cruise industry tested by coronavirus pandemic. So, of course, it's one of his grifts. Story goes back to March 12th. Trump wants to help the cruise lines. At a donor event the Friday before the 12th, the president brought up the industry and said he did not want to shut it down and or for it to suffer job losses, according to three people familiar with his remarks who spoke on the condition of anonymity to describe the closed-door event. He said, we're working with them very, very strongly. We want them to travel. Oh, fuck all. Yeah, that, okay. The vote was 96 yay to 0. I thought it, but I didn't want to just say that. Thank you, Labor Man, Gary. 96 to nothing in the Senate. I wonder who the four not voting were. Who didn't show up to work. From the poetry corner, real quick, one of my favorites, Percy Bysshe Shelley. Poem called Ozymandias. You may be familiar with it. I met a traveler from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed, and on the pedestal these words appear, my name is Ozymandias, King of Kings, look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. That's Donald Trump. It's Jeff Bezos. It's Bill Gates. It's any billionaire anywhere ever. Because, of course, when the statue was built, the motto, "Look on these works, ye mighty, in despair," were to make anybody coming by think, "Well, you know, man, he was great. Nobody will ever be greater than him." But then they lie shattered in the sand, and the motto remains, and it goes from a boast to a warning. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Decay, a colossal wreck. Might that be a new term for Donald Trump, the colossal wreck? Seems fitting. More than. Jesus. I find myself saying that a lot. Don't worry, it's not just, yes, I know what cupidity is, Flavio. Don't worry, I say, you know, Jesus, outside the program, too, because sometimes you got nothing left but that. Down at that viral cesspit known as Liberty University, it's reopened. Alec McGillis, writing for Agence France-Presse, said, "Three Liberty University students, a young man and two women, sat eating lunch on Wednesday afternoon at a small table in the common dining area of the student union on the sprawling campus perched high above Lynchburg, Virginia. They compared notes on the suntans and burns they'd gotten on beaches during spring break last week. They joked about what it would be like to take the college's gun range classes remotely. A fourth student with a backpack strolled up to the table to chat with them for a few minutes. So, when the disease begins to rage in Lynchburg, they can look to the Christians up on the hill for the source. Jesus. There it is again. Oh, and this is a story that I've had laying around because we've spent so much time talking about the virus that I didn't know. I didn't find a place to fit it in. But although the nation is diseased, although we are a plagued nation now, a few weeks back, three to be precise, the city of San Diego filed a restraining order against a Marine from Camp Pendleton. He disappeared last fall, and it turns out that he'd bought a whole bunch of semi-automatic weapons because he had a plan to slaughter people, American citizens, and immigrants, whomever. he had stockpiled himself an arsenal. Lance Corporal Job Wallace had him a 50-round drum for an AR-15, and he was working east from Arizona toward Texas trying to buy more. His brother turned him in and said that four of his firearms were missing from his home, and that Job Wallace had said he was going to get rid of child traffickers on the border. It was September 21st, 2019, when they finally caught up to him. And he was going to slaughter people. You know, it's kind of like the virus that way. We don't know how many oath keepers and neo-Nazis and skinheads and white supremacists there are in either law enforcement or the military. But as I've compared it in the past, we know this much. It's like cockroaches. If you see one, you know you got 1,000 behind the baseboards. And so, a news story. A white supremacist by the name of Timothy Wilson got into a shootout with the FBI when he tried to set off a car bomb at a medical facility in Kansas City. Well, federal prosecutors now feel confident that he was not a lone gunman. Mike Levine, reporting for ABC News, says the suspected white supremacist who plotted to bomb a hospital facing the coronavirus crisis was in touch with a then-active U.S. Army soldier who wanted to launch his own attack on a major American news network and discussed targeting a Democratic presidential candidate, according to an FBI alert summarizing the case. ABC News has identified that other domestic terrorism subject as Jarrett Smith, arrested September 2019 while still stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas, as an active member of the United States Army. According to charging documents filed at the time in Topeka, Kansas, Smith allegedly planned to travel to Ukraine to fight with the violent far-right group Azov Battalion, suggested targeting then-Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke, proposed bombing the headquarters of a still-unidentified news network, and distributed bomb-making tips online. He had espoused white supremacist ideology and made a threat that if any agent attempted to search his property, they should bring a lot of body bags. And recall the story from last week, how the Nazis and white supremacists are calling for each other to go and spit on and cough on police officers and Jews. Agnes just popped in for a minute.
Flying on my broom.
Flying on her broom, she says. Yeah. The Nazis and the white supremacists are celebrating the virus for the opportunity they think it gives them to overturn the government of the United States and get their so-called boogaloo going. Kyle asks, okay, Christians, don't you think you're taking this whole Jesus is the only healthcare we need shit a little too far? Damn, these people are fucking idiots and dangers to the public in every sense. Absolutely. James in Illinois says, as regards Falwell U, they need to be quarantined to the campus. Let them out into the community, and the virus will spread everywhere. And I don't mean just the community. That's how it works. Yeah, there need to be Virginia. Ralph Northam, in order to be responsible, needs to send the National Guard of the Commonwealth of Virginia and set up a cordon around Liberty University. Nobody in, nobody out. No, Lee, I don't think he was wanting to bomb Fox News. Fox. Now, Lee says, oops, I forgot you said News Network. It was either CNN or MSNBC. Sigh. This comes from Kevin in Colorado Springs. Colorado Governor Jared Polis says church services are considered critical as long as social distancing is practiced per KKTV 11 News on Twitter. What the fuck, says Kevin. From Colorado Springs, where the death toll here in El Paso County is now up to 7. Politicians are so afraid of the religion industry. Terrified of it. Because the religion industry is special. They can have 1,800 people smollicking and rubbing all over each other and rolling on the floors and pouring Crisco all over each other and playing catch the snake. And everyone in governance lives in mortal fear of them. Cruise liners in Australia. Robert lets us know Australia ordered 2 cruise ships to leave its waters on Thursday after a liner that docked in Sydney Harbor last week became the primary source of infection in the country's coronavirus outbreak. Although well below levels elsewhere in the world, the pace of Australia's infections is starting to pick up speed, reaching nearly 2,800 cases and 13 deaths. The government of West Australia said nobody would be permitted to disembark from the German-operated MV Artania after 7 of 800 foreign passengers on board tested positive for the virus unless there was a life-threatening emergency. Premier Mark McGowan said this ship needs to leave immediately. Our position is clear. We are not going to have a Sydney Harbor fiasco on our watch. McGowan said a second cruise ship, the MSC Magnifica, which was refused permission to dock in Perth this week, was headed out of Australian waters. They're getting ready to quarantine 800 Australians aboard a third cruise ship, the British-operated Vasco da Gama, on Rottnest Island, a former prison island. And when the ship docks, more than 100 other passengers from Britain and New Zealand will be quarantined on the ship. Jesus. There it is again. I got to stop that. That's becoming a verbal tick. So if you want to talk about all of this, or if there's something else you want to talk about, I heartily encourage you to bring it to the conversation. And if you're new to the program or you've never called before, you're more than welcome. And by the way, a little message out to Hung Like Jesus. Yes, your messages are getting through. It's just that a lot of the times, lately, they've come outside of show hours. So I sometimes slip up and don't remember them when the next program rolls around. But everything's coming through. I don't often play stuff from Comedy Central or The Daily Show, but this needs to be heard. Just a minute. We'll get to the clip in a minute, yeah, because it's brilliant. You don't even need the video for it. But right now, let's run over to the phones, because we don't often hear from Randy in PA. Hey, Randy, how are you? Randy? Randy? Are you there, Randy?
I hear a blip.
Yeah, there you are. You're there. You're on.
There are two blips. Or another blip.
All right, let's try this again.
This virus is not like sunshine. But vitamin D3 is known as sunshine vitamin. It's fat soluble, so you shouldn't take too much of it or it'll ruin your liver. But if you bump it up between 1,000 and 3,000 per day and take extra vitamin C and also take some fish oil with it so that the D3 will complement the fish oil, you may be able to minimize, theoretically, without going in the sunshine.
That's fascinating. I presume you still can't hear me, but then I wish I knew why.
I can't hear you, Bob.
Yeah, I understand. All right, thanks, Randy. So maybe a little fish oil and whatever you can do to boost the immune system. I've been taking some wild oregano oil capsules and vitamin C and just trying to keep things as bumped up as I possibly can. Yeah, everybody's sending me notes telling us that we're number one, we're number one. It's so, you know, it's pathetic. Not y'all, the fact that it got to that. Well, with warm weather comes Stan the studio stink bug. And he's making his presence known in here this evening.
Yuck.
No, what I said, this is a piece of video put together by The Daily Show. And what they did is they took all these news anchors who are talking about how feeble Joe Biden is, because it's all projection with Trump all the time. Whatever they're saying about someone else is something that Trump actually is. So listen to this is good. This is quality.
He's not himself. Something is going on because he's struggling.
And maybe I'll ask Rudy to say a few words.
Well, thanks, Rudy.
He's literally sitting right in front of you.
It is even hard to watch. The confusion.
What we saw at pleasure
what an end right now. But what we just saw, we just left pleasure. For paradise.
Frankly, it is even hard to watch. The inability to finish thoughts.
Decided to shield and shelter criminal. Look, wait.
The burst of outrage and anger.
That's enough.
Mr. President, that's enough.
Pardon me, put down the mic,
Mr. President.
He has some verbal problems that are becoming a little bit more noticeable.
By an anonymous, really an anonymous.
And God bless the United States.
Easily identifiable cognitive decline.
And that's how the First Lady got involved. She's got a son together that is a beautiful young man.
Even for his supporters who are worried that he might say something that doesn't make sense.
They take a shower and water comes dripping out. It's dripping out, very quietly dripping out. People are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times.
They are so worried about him speaking off the cuff.
You got to see this guy. I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
The weird things that he says.
If you have a windmill anywhere near your house, they say the noise causes cancer.
This is just kind of odd. Who swears at a voter like this?
Son of a bitch.
Bullshit.
Shit. He's a pussy.
When you watch it, it is. You use the word uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable to watch. Something is going on. It's concerning to me. Something is wrong.
You've really put a big investment in our country. We appreciate it very much, Tim Apple.
It's not looking good. There's something off there, and how many gaffes can you make every single day? If my father were making the same gaffes as he was, they would literally invoke Article 25 of the... they would try and remove him from office.
You have never stopped working to improve this country and your government.
Whatever they're accusing someone else of, is something that he is. Now, Kyle pointing out the sad part is you could run a similar thing about either leading candidate at this point. Yeah. Yeah. I know the vote was 96-0. Did Bernie miss the vote? Like I said, I'm kind of not going to give him any grief for that because he's extremely fragile and he doesn't need to be in places where we know the coronavirus to be, which would include the Senate of the United States. Thank you, Rand Paul, you dick. So, like I said, the phone lines are open if you want to engage in some conversation. I don't know if the technical difficulties were on my end or Randy's, but hopefully that won't. But he was on the stress line. If you want to get through on the Skype line, that seems to be working quite well, and you're welcome to. We came into the program with a $300 fundraising goal. It's still at $300. If we could at least finish off yesterday, the $100 there, God knows if we could raise the whole $300, that would be wonderful. As we deal with, you can get a break on bills right now, but I prefer to keep them paid as long as I can because having bill X now and paying it is far and away better than having bill 3X and trying to scrounge it up later. Especially when we don't know how long this is going to go on. So there's that. It also happens to be Thursday, which means we have the Green News Report, courtesy of Brad and Desi. And I'm going to take a minute because I like what they do. Okay? And in the meantime, if you've got something you want to say to all of this, you are more than welcome to get the bee out of your bonnet or the burr out from under your saddle. Okay? All right. Brad and Desi.
It's Thursday, March 26, 2020.
Appreciate it for what it does. Don't judge it for what it doesn't because we have more bills to come.
Good news and bad for the energy sector in Senate's coronavirus relief bill.
Even COVID-19 can't stop the Trump administration's environmental rollbacks. Plus,
this is a huge victory for the Standing Rock Sioux tribe.
Some much-needed good news amid so much bad on the Dakota Access Pipeline.
I'll take it. All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Democrats won't let us fund hospitals or save small businesses unless they get to dust off the Green New Deal.
Are you sure about that, Senator McConnell? Or are you making stuff up again? I know what I'm betting on. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, the Senate bill has now passed, but Mitch McConnell there was arguing that Democrats wouldn't let them do it unless they dusted it off the Green New Deal. Is there any truth to that whatsoever?
Of course there isn't. What? McConnell is lying. This has nothing to do with the Green New Deal. There was a fight in the Senate over renewable energy and Democrats thinking that, hey, let's require the airline industry to reduce their emissions in exchange for receiving a bailout.
You mean we're going to give them free money and ask them to do something in return?
Yeah.
Crazy.
That was all stripped. However, that $2 trillion coronavirus emergency relief bill does not include funding that was requested by the Trump administration to fill the strategic petroleum reserve that was intended to boost oil industry profits. Hmm. But unfortunately, it also does not extend federal renewable energy tax credits or direct pay provisions that were sought by the wind and solar industries to help them withstand major supply chain disruptions and work stoppages that have been caused by the global pandemic.
Indeed, the solar stocks have crashed over the past couple of weeks, so why not help them out as well?
Well, Bloomberg News reports that while some in the industry hope that there could be help for them in future rounds of stimulus, the wind and solar industries may have already suffered irreparable damage in multiple canceled projects. Meanwhile, even the coronavirus can't stop the Trump administration's environmental rollbacks. Grist.org reports that the administration continues to sell new oil leases on public lands across four western states at fire sale prices, despite the fact that waiting for higher crude oil prices could generate more revenue for taxpayers. The administration is still moving ahead on implementing major environmental policy changes and repealing major public health rules despite the pandemic. The Trump EPA recently expanded proposed restrictions on the types of scientific research that the EPA is allowed to use, and that includes most research on the harmful effects of water and air pollution.
They sure have been quick when it comes to gutting regulations, when it comes to getting, you know, masks and ventilators to hospitals. No rush there.
Funny that. The oil and gas industry is also petitioning the Trump Interior Department to open up public lands in Utah for drilling operations that would be as close as a half mile to some of the nation's most famous protected sites, including Delicate Arches National Park and Canyonlands National Park. And the Trump Environmental Protection Agency is reviewing a request from the oil and gas industry to weaken enforcement provisions for hazardous air and water pollution regulations during the pandemic, to the horror of public health experts.
Really?
But there is some good news. Federal courts have been stepping in, ordering the government to suspend or void hundreds of leases, ruling that the Interior Department is making procedural mistakes and violating environmental laws in its haste to expand domestic oil and gas production. Recently, a federal judge canceled more than $125 million in lease sales in Wyoming, Nevada, and Utah.
Good.
And finally, an important victory for the Standing Rock Sioux tribe in their ongoing years-long effort to stop the controversial Dakota Access Pipeline from crossing near their land. A federal judge on Wednesday found the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers violated the National Environmental Policy Act when it issued permits allowing construction of the pipeline. Citing the parent company's abysmal safety record, the judge ordered the Corps to start over and conduct a full environmental assessment of the likelihood and potential impacts of oil spills on the tribe's water supply. The tribe's lawyer, Earth Justice Attorney Jan Hasselman, told the Green News Report,
"This is a huge victory for the Standing Rock Sioux tribe and all the people who have supported them over the years. essentially, a federal court has validated the concerns that we've been expressing since the beginning, that the risks of an oil spill are too great, that the consequences on the Standing Rock are too significant, and this needs to be studied really carefully and in a transparent way.
So will this hold up the Dakota Access Pipeline? Will it stop it?
It won't stop it. It's already operational. But they're asking the court to close it down while the assessment is underway.
Shut her down. For much more on that story and all of the others that we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Now throttle back, drop the plow, shut it down.
And we've pretty much reached the halfway point of this Thorn in the Side Thursday. And, it looks like Nitwit Nero is upping his game and trying to kill people. I remember when he said he could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and not lose a vote, and we thought, man, you're an asshole. No, that wasn't him engaging in hyperbole or sarcasm or anything else. That was him expressing his essential psychopathic nature. And now he's trying to kill people, he's trying to kill Americans in their thousands. And make no mistake, I'm saying that he's doing it intentionally. This isn't negligence or gross negligence or willful, wanton, and reckless. He means to kill people. Remember when he asked what was the point of having nuclear weapons if we couldn't use them? These things are not happening in isolation. They are part of a trend line. Oh, and thanks to everybody in the ad hoc research department getting back with me to tell me the four who didn't vote were Rand Paul, Bishop Willard Romney, Mike Lee, and John Thune. So Bernie showed up and voted. I hope they had like some sort of hazmat suit or something on him. But he showed up and he voted. And he voted for it. That's important. So he must be somewhat sad. He's pissed off about the things he doesn't like in the bill, but he didn't not like it enough to vote against it. Even with the $500 billion giveaway to corporate America. You know, two things. What did Bismarck say? Two things you never want to see it being made: laws and sausage. Yeah. Meanwhile, let's run out to New Mexico and check. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the program.
How you doing, Bob?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Gary,
it's
how about you?
Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad. No, I just thought that you hit a good point that I had been thinking about was a length of time that this thing's been floating around. And I'm thinking, you know, as I look at this map, and I'm looking, and I sent you the link. This is you know, similar to the CDC map, but only it's put out by Microsoft Bing. Coronavirus map. I sent you the link to that.
Yeah.
In the email. I don't know if you got the link or not.
Yeah, I've got it here. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, if you just scroll in some of these out of way places, you know, Fiji Island and Tasmania and Canary Islands, and, you know, this, you know, Seychelles, Fiji.
I dare say most people in this country, and you know, like I said, I was watching Midway last night, and I remembered my father and mother saying to me that as of December 6th, 1941, neither of them had any idea where Pearl Harbor was or had even heard of it. Well, so too, at the beginning of this thing, everybody's heard of Beijing, Shanghai. Nobody ever heard of Wuhan. But my God, it's like it's 11 million people.
Yeah, but you know, it just seems, you know, kind of odd that it's so spread worldwide. You know, and this map shows a lot more places in old Mother Russia. with cases, reported cases. But anyway, you know, I was thinking, you know, I mean, so the story goes, this is supposed to be going on from sometime in December.
Everything, I mean, you know, for instance, that Australian Broadcasting Corporation piece that Darlene hipped us to, that then turned my blood to, it was terrifying. They say that China recognized it had a problem in early December, and they also document the Chinese suppression of the information. And so they released information to the world in mid-December. And so Trump had to have been briefed on it then or not much after that.
Yeah.
But they went public with it in mid-December, but according to the Australian Broadcast Corporation piece, they knew about it in early December. And in order to know about it, people have to be getting sick enough in such numbers for it to register on the radar of the medical community. And that pushes it back into mid-November, at least as far as I can calculate.
So November, let's say November, and so the story goes, there was a bat, a rat, and a cat.
It was a bat and a pangolin.
No, I'm telling the story here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it's a bat, a rat, and a cat. And the bat bit the rat, and the cat ate the rat, and then somebody in China ate the fucking cat. Okay, and there we go, right? So this thing spreads to where this fucking map is. November, December, January, February, March, in 4 months.
Viruses can do that.
I don't believe it.
Look what the so-called Spanish flu, you know, the dirty white Kansas pig farmer flu. Look what it did, even before there was worldwide aircraft travel.
No, I don't know. What did it do? I know. I've heard. It raced the worst.
It raced around the planet. It got from Kansas to Europe. In time to start decimating forces of both Germany, Britain, and France and the United States.
Four months.
I thought you were
on a good track with your thoughts on timing of this thing, but it just doesn't seem feasible to me. I have no fucking idea about what germs do and don't do other than make people sick, you know. But in terms of spreading, it just, you know, I mean, looking at these maps, it's just kind of wild that, you know, that in 4 months you would have such a worldwide spread on this. It just wouldn't seem that the odds of infected people, starting out in China, you know what I mean, and then spreading across the world in this amount of time, it just seems like it doesn't seem plausible to me. That to me it seems like it's had to be around a much longer time.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. If you push it back,
undetected.
It's the undetected part, Gary. The heart of my paranoia is the fact that if it was undetected for a month in Wuhan, given the amount of commerce between the United States and China and the rest of the world, odds are it was spreading before they even identified it. Consider the Black Plague of the 14th century starts in Asia, and that literally is a fleas to rats to people transmission, and it's bacterial, not viral. But it works its way across Asia to the Levant, where Venetian merchant ships pick it up. The rats bring it aboard the ship because, you know, wooden sailing ships, one of the most notorious problems they faced was rats in the cargo hold. And so the ship docks in Venice. The rats run down the lines, get on the ground, and reinfect, and the fleas, and, you know, it was dirty. And it gets going and burns all over Italy before it starts burning all over the rest of Western Europe. And it's following the same pattern. You know, it went from China, it went to Iran. Iran caught fire, and it went from Iran to Italy. The first identified foreign travel case in New York City was from a family who had just come back from Iran. But we now know, but based on what was happening in other counties, they had a lot more. It wasn't one person spreading it. There was no patient zero. We'll likely never find a patient zero for this, like they did with, you know, HIV/AIDS. But
yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know. I just thought, you know, you were on the right track. That, you know, I think it goes probably back further than you know, some point in November or October or even September.
Well,
because it's wild looking at this map. I mean, you know, even like the Canary Islands. Now, I've heard the Canary Islands and all that, and I know it's like a tourist trap too. I would guess 784 cases. You know.
Yeah.
And you know, just you know, all these out of the way remote places. Mauritius. I don't know what the hell that is. It's an island off of Madagascar.
Yeah, Mauritius. 52
cases.
Oh, there's 30.
Mauritius.
Yeah, there's 30 cases in French Polynesia. The only place that I can't find a case, and maybe they've just got it lumped in with Chile, is Easter Island, which is basically the most remote island on Earth.
That's what I'm saying. I know some of these islands are touristy-type places. Fiji has 5 cases.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sort of out in the middle of nowhere, too.
But the other thing to bear in mind, Gary, is not just tourism, but commerce. Because, you know how Corona Caligula likes to brag about, you know, I shut down travel from China a long time before anybody thought I should have. Well, that's bullshit. He didn't shut down commerce from China. And you know what?
Yeah.
Those container ships leaving China are not, you know, they're not run by AI. They have crews. And the crews don't always, they don't necessarily stay on the ship when they get where they're going. So that's why, you know, that's why you see major transport hubs being the places where it flares up first. Gavin Newsom is scared to death right now that L.A. is going to turn into New York. And, of course, you know, look at Seattle and Puget Sound. The nursing home in Kirkland, Washington was community spread. There was no foreign travel involved in that. So, and again, my own experience, I went down to Alabama, and the whole cast was sick of that play I was in. The whole cast was sick for just about the entire rehearsal period. And people would say, you know, it doesn't feel like the flu. Or there are people, you know, I had my flu shot, and be sick for a week, and then think it's, you know, it's dying down, and then it would come back with a vengeance.
Yeah,
and it was all the same thing. It was headaches. It was runny noses, watery red eyes, low grade fevers. And again, I point to that part of the world because there's a lot of electronics and technology firms in the greater Huntsville, Alabama area that have contact with China.
Mm-hmm.
And if the thing was cooking before the Chinese ever announced it, which it was, then that means that there was commerce probably between all manner of localities in China. and North America, because we outsourced the making of everything to China. I remember when at the behest of both Republicans and Democrats, Bill Clinton carried forward on something that he agreed with George H.W. Bush about, and granted, I think it was 1995, most favored nation trading status to China. And that's when the jobs started leaving. And that's when they started booming. And it's funny how you can look at something like that and say, you know, this might not be happening if we hadn't done that. And I don't say that there's, it's not, it is not racist or xenophobic to say that. It's just factual. Or then again, maybe it would have, because the rest of the world would have done it, and that's why we did it anyway. Well, the rest of the world's going to trade with them. We might as well, too. Let's give our jobs to them as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, we love commies, so we're a commie-loving country.
Yeah, no, hell, I'm more communist than the Chinese are at this point.
I know.
You know, they're just commie
capitalists.
Yeah, they're just authoritarian, brutal capitalists.
Fascists.
It's arguably fascist.
Fascists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of spooky looking at this map. I think our, and who knows how much damage it's going to do, you know. But you know, it doesn't seem like we're going to get a handle on it. The only thing that's going to happen is if this thing mutates over some period of time, it becomes much less communicable.
Well, what I have heard and read over the last few days is that the virologists are saying that this thing is actually mutating slower than your average garden variety virus. So that gives them hope that maybe they can come up with a vaccine. It mutates, for instance, much more slowly than does the flu.
Yeah.
But if it takes a year and a half to do that, and Imperial College in London is saying, you know, 2 million people could be dead. Oh, God. I mean, 2 million people out of a population of 7 billion, 2 million is kind of a rounding error, but that's only if they don't have faces. That's only if they're not people you care about, people you love. And as long as it's not touching anybody that Nitwit Nero cares about, which means as long as it's not touching him, because he is fundamentally incapable of caring about anybody else, that's part of the mindset of a psychopath. As long as it doesn't touch him, he doesn't give a shit who it burns.
Yeah, he might have got lucky with not getting infected from.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's a good example.
Two or three people.
Here's a good example. Robert in Australia just sent this along. You know, Tom Hanks and his wife Rita Wilson have it, and they're in quarantine.
Yeah.
And Robert lets us know, before being diagnosed with COVID-19, Tom Hanks's wife, Rita Wilson, did a segment on a morning TV show here in Sydney. Once she was diagnosed, the TV station started testing staff. Everyone who used the dressing room after Rita Wilson had used it got the coronavirus. The morning show presenters had it. And I expect quite a few other people at the station had it. A good virus can be in every major city on the planet in 48 hours and most other places in a week, thanks to air travel. It's why Australia Post still has my secondhand vinyl LP in quarantine. Robert ordered a vinyl album, and it's literally quarantined, being held up because of the potential spread of the virus. So, yeah, they get around. They get around pretty quickly. For instance, Ebola, for as horrifying as it was a lot easier to cope with, because the only way you could get Ebola was by direct contact with a bodily fluid. It couldn't just float in the air like this does. This thing just floats in the air. and can remain airborne for, I think, something like up to 3 hours from being exhaled or expunged or shed from someone carrying it.
I don't know about that.
And it can live. It can live for days on surfaces, depending on the composition of the surface.
It's got to be in somewhat of a mist form, being sneezed or coughed or whatever. I don't think it'll stay up in the air 3 hours.
That's what the science I'm reading on it suggests. Because you got to remember, these things are 1/100th the diameter of a human hair. They are ultra fine particles. That's why, for instance,
get that. I'm an asbestos worker instructor, so I know all about respiratory protection and particulate and gases and vapors and all that.
You know about PM10 and PM2.5, those two EPA standards. Well, a coronavirus particle is 2,000 times smaller than PM2.5, or 200 times smaller. And so, a mask that provides protection against PM2.5, the coronavirus is just going to laugh at that. Gets right through.
I don't know about this. I worked through the NIOSH and MSHA standards and the old subpart of 11 or whatever the hell it was, and for canisters and filters and respirators and all that good shit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that EPA stuff, but, you know, an N95 doesn't do a whole lot to protect you. You know, it'll help, but, there's no way you can get a face-to-face PCO with a dust mask. You know, just for nuisance dust.
Yeah.
Because people will talk, you know, once you start talking with that dust mask, you know what I mean? You're going to be pretty well. So, and if you cough and sneeze inside of one of those, you know, you're still not protecting, other people either, because you just blow all that shit out the side of the mask, you know?
Right.
So, but if you know to keep your mouth shut and don't chew gum and whatever, it'll help, you know, it'll help.
Right.
You know, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, that's the whole point, is using whatever tools are available to you to minimize the risk. Yeah. You can never totally eliminate the risk, but you can try to minimize it.
Well, it's important for hospital workers. That's why they wear no surgical masks to begin with. You know, they understand that about...
to try to keep from infecting the patients.
Right, spreading whatever they got. Versus, because there's no seal there, but anyway, it just seemed, I can't wrap my mind around, you know what I mean, looking at all this red on every continent, you know, except Antarctica, and all of these, you know, out of the way islands in the Atlantic and Pacific and Caribbean and just inundated with red.
Yeah.
I mean, in my mind, I thought I heard somebody say, you know, well, it was, the cat met the rat and the rat met the bat and back in January, and I'm going, no fucking way.
Oh, no, there's no way it was January. I mean, it is. It's acknowledged the world over that it was December. My argument is that it probably extends earlier than that.
Oh, yeah, it's got to.
It's during that time when nobody knew about it that it got around and got its original initial foothold.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's well, it's like in our state. You know, it wasn't that long ago we had two cases finally show up, and there were a couple who were on one of the cruises. And they were down in, I think it was Socorro County. And since that time, we're up to, I think, 100, 119 or something like that today. But still none in my county. And my question being, you know, my question, because how much testing have we done in my county? You know what I mean? Because
right.
You're never going to know shit until you start testing.
Right. So Bernalillo, you know, where Albuquerque is, has 48.
Yeah, and that's a bordering county with.
And then Santa Fe has 17.
County. Yeah, and that's a bordering county with my county.
And I'm worried. I think those two are worried to death about my youngest daughter. You know, she's out about 45 minutes west of Albuquerque. And
out toward Grants and Gallup.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so, her husband works in a hospital, and she's pregnant.
Oh boy, you gotta be real careful. It's like even going out.
And tomorrow is her birthday.
Yeah, even going out, I've been wearing gloves, but not the mask. And if I don't get anybody close enough, and hopefully nobody just lets go of a big achoo. You know what I mean? Within a few feet of me, you know what I mean? I should be okay, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm going to start wearing. I got several N95s. I even have a tight-fitting elastomeric half mask with P100 filters on it. So that's a HEPA filter. So that's, pretty much clog out everything. But I haven't heard anybody talk about, and I'm not sure, I think you sort of touched on it maybe sometime back, but I'm not positive. You know, I don't listen all the time. Sometimes I catch the stuff on a podcast.
Right.
Or like right now, I'm about at the end of my rope time limit, right now. Because I got some other things to do, but, what do you call it? Was like, when we were doing, our anthrax training, this goes back a long ways, but we did that and we did, it was laborers that went in and cleaned up all the anthrax in the Capitol. And then I think there were some places in New York City that had some anthrax exposure. Can't quite remember, but I remember vaguely in the curriculum about, it would take a certain amount of anthrax to get up your nose, so to speak.
Yeah, you've got to have a number. Yeah, you've got to reach a threshold of infection in order for it to get going.
Yeah, well, what's the deal with this thing? This virus.
This
Does anybody
virus,
have any idea?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the numbers are, but it takes, for instance, substantially more virus particles for this to infect you than it does for flu, because flu, I guess, transmits more easily.
Really? Well, I thought the way this was going around that this one was worse.
Well, no.
What do you call that? What do you call that? That threshold? I know there's a name for that. I remember, I only did one anthrax class. Because I had to. I really wouldn't have done it because I'm out here and I primarily train the workforce up at Los Alamos. Our laborers and the other construction, union construction crafts up there. and maintenance crews.
But again, as tiny as they are, if you're even if you're talking 500, you know, you still couldn't see that with the naked eye.
I know we're talking about we're talking about things measured in microns.
Right. Exactly.
You know, everything that's a micron is one millionth of a meter. You know, so, you know, like an asbestos fiber, you know, generally an asbestos fiber is 3 by 1 microns, you know, length to width ratio 3 to 1. So if it's 3 microns long and 1 micron wide, it's considered a full asbestos fiber.
Yeah.
You know, but you still can't see that in the eye. People think, oh, you look in the sunlight and you see all those wispy particles, you know, in the sunbeam, you know, and you think, oh, you know, look at all them particles. You know, we're talking about all the asbestos particles. You don't even see them.
Right, and that's why
reflecting light.
That's like when we started learning about the ultrafines and mountaintop removal blasting. We got it out here too.
So
yeah, we came up with a slogan. What you can't see can kill you.
Oh yeah. Well, that's a story with the asbestos and mountaintop removal. You're getting both the fines of mostly silica is the big problem there, you know.
Yeah.
Plus coal. You're getting the coal.
Yeah, and you're also getting the
coal dust.
You're also getting the uncombusted residue, the ammonium nitrate and fuel oil, those polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. But they're all coming in.
Yeah.
They're all coming in. They're all coming in. Around 100 microns or less.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. Yeah. And the reason, for instance, part of the reason that asbestos is so toxic, is because in an ultrafine configuration, there's nothing out there that isn't toxic as an ultrafine. The man who taught me about all of this runs the School of Public Health at West Virginia University, and he told me the story about something called titanium white. And titanium white is non-reactive at PM2.5, PM10, whatever. It's completely benign. But he said what he found out was when you get it down to ultrafine status, it too becomes toxic because they go in and they operate. It's like the virus. You know, the virus breaks into the cell and hijacks the cell's DNA to reproduce itself and turns that cell into a new virus. And so too with other ultrafines, they get through the outer shell of the cell. And they go in and start wrecking the interior workings of it. For instance, at least with the ultrafines from mountaintop removal, they've seen it happen in real time under a microscope. An ultrafine makes contact with a cell, let's call cell A, and then out at B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, out at the 10th cell out, you begin to see mutagenic changes in that. Just from the wreckage that it was doing to cell A, and you get mutagenic changes at cell J. Because there's no, the body has no way of stopping any of it. And essentially, that's comparable to what we're dealing with the coronavirus, because there is there's absolutely no immunity to it whatsoever. In many ways, we're like the indigenous Americans when the Europeans arrived. They had no, you know, Europeans survived the smallpox, you know, it killed, but smallpox, measles, chicken pox, what have you, those viruses just came and went through the European population because they'd been dealing with it for so long. But when it got introduced to an absolutely non-immune population, it roared through and killed them in their millions. And there's a lesson there for us today.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have no immunity to this thing.
There's a le- trust in there. You know, don't ever become a maggot. That's the lesson.
Well, and the fun and the thing is, they will probably die faster than people who are trying to be careful about it.
Yeah, well, and the kicker was, I saw it just within the past few days. It said approval poll on how Trump's handling the virus. They said 50% of the people thought he was doing a good job.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going, fuck, we're toast. We're fucking toast.
Yeah, it's frightening.
You know.
Well, I expect we're going to see a lot more stories like the one I've got in front of me right now. A guy named Landon Spradlin. Now, he called himself a musical evangelist. He's a preacher. And he and his wife went to New Orleans on a trip. And he caught it and took it home. And now he's dead. It killed him, 66 years old. Well, back on March 13th, he was sharing information on social media that said that the coronavirus was no worse than a flu, and said that, you know, you can protect yourself from infectious disease with the Spirit of God. And he went on to say
goddess of irony.
Yeah, and then he went on to say, the media is pumping out fear and doing more harm than good. Yeah.
Goddess of irony.
The only pity, the biggest shame of it all is that, you know, if it had to be a preacher or you know, religious divine type, why couldn't it have been Jerry Falwell Jr.? Oh, well.
Yeah, that's his, I don't know. I don't know. I listen to you and I listen to Mike and, you know, a few other people and, you know, it's just like, you know, how fucking dumb can we get? I mean, Jesus Christ.
Well, for me, Gary, the thing that makes it worst or worse is that, because, you know, we've talked about this, you know, if the floor rollers and the tongue speakers and the churchy people, if they want to go in their churches and smolik all over each other and hug and snot on each other and breathe each other's air and get sick, there's a tendency to say, well, let them. But the problem is they then go out into the community.
Oh, yeah, they go
and
to
they
their
spread
Walmart
it, and
their...
they, and, right, and they spread it to people who are doing their damn best trying not to catch it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still pissed off.
Over.
It was a week ago tomorrow morning when that maggot down in North Carolina deliberately invaded my space while I was trying to get a cup of decaf. And when I kept moving away from him. Finally, I looked at him and said, "Hey, social distancing." And he looked at me and laughed. He looked at me and laughed and said, "Fake news."
Yeah, there was a headline. There was a headline just recently here. I mean, you know, within the past couple hours, I spotted it. It was, you know, some grocery store throws out $35,000 worth of food because some woman came in and started sneezing and coughing purposefully on a bunch of shit. You know,
yeah.
She went along the produce thing and sneezed and coughed and then went along the apparently deli or
yeah, because we got some real assholes in this country.
But I didn't read it. I just caught the headline, so I'm wondering if that's a, you know. Some, you know, obviously, you know, she's got a few, a few cards missing out of her deck, you know?
Yeah. But there are, you know, there are more examples than just that. There's the kid who videoed himself licking packages of deodorant in a, you know. God.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, we'll have to see. And, I don't know. It doesn't seem like we're going to get a handle on it anytime soon. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we went from Trump saying we got one case to where we're number one, you know.
Yeah, 82,404 as of this minute.
Yeah, that's on the Bing. I got mine from the Bing, so they showed us number one a little bit ahead of the one you were looking at, CDC.
I've got the Johns Hopkins one, Arcus.
Yeah, 82,547 on this Bing Microsoft one. And China is number two, and Italy's about to take over them. Of course, I don't know about China. I really don't trust their data. They shot up to 81, and they're still hanging out just barely above it. Supposedly got a handle on it. You know, I'm not too sure about that. You know, that they would. You know, not that it makes a difference. You know, so it's going on over there in China. And, but, you know, Italy leads in the number of deaths, you know, for a while. You know, we'll go past them, you know, at some point. I forgot how many deaths they said Italy had.
Italy is 8,215.
Well, and we're just over 1,000 right now. Is that supposedly roughly?
Yeah.
I thought I heard somebody on the news say we just went over 1,000. So, but if it, you know, if it keeps spreading, you know, and I saw another caption, something about do not resuscitate.
Yeah, those are those discussions are. I talked about that last night. Those discussions are now being had. There'll be just a DNR, a general medical ethicists and everything are tackling the problem. Or at least discuss, you know, they're talking about it because nobody wants that to be the case, but it may come down to the point where it's DNR for anybody with coronavirus.
Is that coronavirus or coronavirus age 60 and up? I didn't read the article, so I didn't know. It just said,
it may be 60 and up. You know, I don't remember the details right off.
Considering a DNR order for coronavirus patients, I guess that they're I'm not too sure. I guess okay. DNR means okay, they're not fucking conscious.
Yeah, that means, you know, cardiac arrest, loss of consciousness, vegetative state.
Yeah.
But it also means no ventilator.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, you're going to do, you're going to resuscitate before you do the ventilator. But,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that was you were looking at the John Hopkins site, right?
Right.
Yeah, let's see here. So like I say, you know, a couple of weeks ago we didn't have a case detected yet, and now we're up to 100 some odd, and you know, and that's the thing, you know, and it says, well, we're not. The other thing that bugged me was they're saying, well, no, we're not going to test everybody. Well, fuck, if you don't test everybody,
then, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. And they aggressively They aggressively tested in South Korea, and that's part of how they got a handle on it. But our country under Trump is too fucked up. You know, imagine, we went from going to the moon 50 years ago to we can't produce test kits to stop a virus now.
Yeah, we're number one on the CDC one.
That's
too.
That's a pretty sad commentary.
Oh yeah.
And you can chalk it up to fucking Republicans.
Capitalism. Chalk it up to fucking capitalism.
Yeah. But I mean, we were capitalist when we went to the moon. What we hadn't.
But Trump's more worried about, you know, his fucking businesses and the stock market and the mega wealthy people than he is the fucking average bear. But they know that the trick to sending Americans money, you know, that fucking works. You know, I mean, Ronald Reagan did it. You know, Ronald Reagan sent me a fucking check for about $30 in 80 something, probably 84. And everybody's going, hey, I'm going to vote for Ronald Reagan. All the guys out in the shop and everything said, well, what the fuck are you going to vote for Ronald Reagan for? Oh, he sent me a check. Send me a tax rebate, you know, and then Bush did it too.
Yep.
You know, and that's what it's all he's doing it for. And they're going to leave the unemployed people fucking high and dry. They're going to get $1,200 and say, here we go.
We got a $2 trillion package getting ready to go through the House that passed the Senate, and fully 25% of it is just money for Donald Trump and Steve Mnuchin to play with. And steal.
Yeah, I know.
And steal.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, they're gonna bail out the cruise ship industry when it doesn't even need to exist.
Oh, I thought they should have just said, fuck this. No bailouts of corporates. This is for people only. Period. End of story. You know what I mean? We're gonna deal with unemployed people, and we're gonna deal with helping people, and that's it. And we'll come back and we'll figure out what we're gonna do with corporate America. Different fucking bill. You know. But we just can't win the propaganda war with this fucker in the White House and the Republicans, because they own all the fucking media. Now, just like that clip you played, right? That clip you played, I mean, that was all about them people getting on Joe Biden.
Right.
And they never took it. Never say a word about fucking Donald Trump.
Exactly.
You know, and he's slurring and slopping and spewing and mispronouncing and everything. They just can't wait for fucking Joe to speak and mispronounce one word, you know, and they're all over them again. You know, of course I do.
Well, the worst part of that is it's not just Fox. The worst part of that, Gary, is that it's our side too.
Well, it's not our side. None of them fuckers are on our side. There's nobody in major corporate media on our fucking side. They like their seven-figure plus checks. You know what I mean? They got their fucking marching orders. Where not to tread, okay? And who to beat up on. They get fucking marching orders every day from the fucking suits. And if they don't do it, they don't have a fucking job. You know, that's the bottom line. You know, they're going to beat up on fucking Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders or whoever the Democrat is and just ignore what this nut job does at his rallies or what he says from the podium. Or from the chopper pad, you know. That's the bottom line, you know. Just so you know, we don't have a platform. You know, we don't have a platform. We don't have a bully pulpit. You know, it's one of the big problems. So, all right, Bob.
All right, Gary. Good to hear from you, man. Stay safe. Stay well. Wash your hands. All that good shit. You ought to be ahead of the game, though, because your expertise in dealing with asbestos kind of...
Oh, asbestos, hazardous waste, anthrax, mold, microbial remediation.
So that kind of gives you a knowledge leg up.
Sort of, but you know, and it doesn't help, you know, if you go out there when it becomes so widespread. You know what I mean? And you go into a store because you got to go get some goddamn groceries, and then somebody lets go of a big fucking sneeze, you know, and then you turn around and you know, and they're 2 feet behind you. You know, it was like I was in the line the other day, and you know, I was loading up my groceries on the conveyor, and I put a little thingy, you know, so the next person behind me can put their shit on there, you know. And this woman behind me kept insisting she wanted to help me put my fucking groceries on the thingy. Do you need some help? You know what I mean? I mean, here's somebody trying to be nice and everything, but, you know, she asked me like 3 times. I mean, I got fucking irritated, you know? No, I didn't need any help. And I really didn't want a stranger touching my shit, you know?
Right.
With bare hands. And I got gloves on. I say, well, you know, this is somebody's sweet old grandma. You know what I mean? Keep it cool. You know what I mean? But it's like she really got pressing the zone, so to speak. You know what I mean? So I got to the front of the cart, you know, and she was hanging on the back of the cart, you know, insisting she wanted to help me put my fucking groceries up there. You know, so, you know, with that those types of situations, you never know when you're going to run across it, regardless of, you know, what your knowledge base is, you know,
dealing with
stuff like this. You know, you're out there in the world, you know, you can know all the intricate standard operating procedures of an asbestos job or a radiation worker too, or hazardous waste site, or, well, you know, you can know all of that, you know what I mean? But it doesn't do you no good when you go into the grocery store.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? And yeah. Someone blasts a cough or a sneeze, and, you know, right in your face or close enough. So I still want, if you can, just before I hang up here, because I got to get out of here. The you're saying that this takes more than the flu to essentially infect you. You need to get a bigger dose.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I forget where I read it the other day, but it's like 3 or 4 times as many particles as it takes for flu.
Uh-huh. And you have any idea how much it takes for flu?
I don't. So.
Well, like I remember with the anthrax training, you know, oh shit, I did this anthrax training where, I mean, shit, this is after 9/11, you know. So it was, you know, and then they had the 9/11, then they had the anthrax thing happen, you know, right after that. And that's when we developed a course and to be able to go in and clean up the fucking Capitol and some other places on the East Coast there. And I remember thinking, yeah, you got to get a pretty good whiff of this shit. You know, the anthrax.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For it to screw you up.
Right, but of course, that's kind of an apples and oranges sort of thing, because anthrax is bacterial, whereas this is viral.
Yeah, right. So, okay. And I was reading somewhere where they're saying, well, actually, this is more dead than alive.
Paul from Parts Unknown was telling us about that.
That's what I thought. I thought I heard somebody talking about it.
It's...
It's biological, and and chemical, or how would you describe?
I think maybe Paul will chime in when he catches up because he's working like a wild man right now.
Well, I think that makes it worse. That makes it worse in terms of
it's fragmentary. If it's dead. It's fragmentary. It doesn't have the full complement of structure that a true cell does.
So it's like asbestos is dead material.
Right. It's a mineral.
It's so problematic for our system, because once that shit, in terms of, let's just say, attacking or getting into the lungs, getting deep into the alveoli, you know, when it gets there and it gets attacked by our immune system, our immune system, those cells, they essentially commit suicide trying to kill something that's not alive. See, our system is designed to kill, you know, parasites and pathogens, you know, not dead shit. You know what I mean? But because asbestos is, you know, a particle, dead, you know, like you said, a mineral, you know, it keeps trying to kill it when it can't. You know, because eventually those white blood cells, macrophages, whatever, they eventually killed whatever other living invader comes into the body, right? Eventually they kill it. They might die in the process, but in the process with asbestos, that shit gets down deep in the lungs and it's never ever coming out. You know, it's never ever coming out. Once you breathe that asbestos in, it's in there for fucking ever.
Right.
There's nothing your system can do.
That's like the difference between silicosis and black lung. With silicosis, you get eventually so many silica particulates in your lungs, which is a wet environment to begin with, that it basically turns into concrete in your lungs. On the other hand,
it's the same process. Silica is the same process as asbestos. Silicosis, asbestosis are essentially the same thing. It's building of scar tissue in the lung from the death, right? And the moisture from all the macrophages that fucking die, you know, in its effort to try to attack and kill those silica particles or those asbestos particles or fiberglass particles.
And what makes viruses so pernicious is the fact that when those particles get in, when they attack on the cellular level, like I said, they get in and they use a cell to then reproduce itself. They turn the cell into a virus. And then it's lather, rinse, repeat. And the immune system does what it can, but an immune system has a hell of a lot harder time with a virus than it does with a biologic.
Yeah, or bacteria.
Yeah, bacterium, yeah. Fungal.
Yeah, well, any parasite or pathogen, whatever it might be.
Yeah, there we go. Those are good words.
Doesn't make any difference which side of the equation it's on. It's going to get spooky, I sure am. Yeah. I don't know about thoughts and prayers, but shit, I ain't a praying guy, but goddamn. I don't know. Maybe I ought to say something to Jesus.
see if he
can't give us a hand. I don't know, man. This could get real, real ugly. But not only that, I worry about out here, they bought up all the fucking ammunition, these fucking maggots. You know, you can't find a fucking bullet in this state.
Jesus.
Did you know that?
No. I mean, I know guns are flying off the shelves.
Well, ammunition's fucking long gone. Long gone.
Wow.
You know? So, you know, who knows? The preppers are double prepping.
Right. Jesus.
You know? So, you know, it could get real, real spooky. I hope not. I hope not. And I'll pray to whatever being might be around who can help for help. You know, and just, I'm not a praying guy, but shit, somebody ought to pray for us. You know, we're gonna need it with our level of fucking stupidity. I don't know, you know. And that's the thing that, you know, with the way we talk, you and I talk, and people in our community talk, and whatever, you know, the other side looks at us and says, how stupid are these fuckers? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they do the same. They do exactly the same as we do, you know. And, but I don't know, you know, there's facts and.
Well, it's like, Gary, it's made worse. In many instances, our system can tolerate even a fairly high degree of stupid and even malevolence. But when you've got stupid at the top of the government and malevolent at the top of the government, then it turns into a tsunami that washes over all of us.
That's the big problem. That's the big problem. You know, like Mike, you know, I mean, he almost says it every night. You know, why is he still president? You know, why are we putting up with this, you know? And I guess most people feel, you know, at least my generation, you know, I'm 72. And, you know, come up through the 60s and the 70s and all that good stuff. And, you know, I think that was... the last of, mass movements type of things. You know what I mean? And, we had some minimal successes in a number of areas. You know, we had sort of these detached, movements, you know, that if they could have come together, you know, we probably wouldn't be where we are today. You know, we don't see we ever came together, you know, the women's movement, the peace movement, you know, anti-war movement, civil rights movement, you know, environmental movement, you know, had all these movements really active and all of them getting a little something done, you know, in our day, you know, which I think, you know, I feel proud of that I was a part of, you know, I mean, you know, it's more, you know, even though I was anti-war, you know, I was drafted and served and went to Nam for a year, but, you know, came home anti-war. And I liked the women's movement because I really liked the ladies because they liked to show their titties. You know, it was a time of a lot of titty showing. So I was always at the women's rallies for burning their bras. I didn't miss those.
Oh God, Gary!
I might have missed a couple of Vietnam vets against the war.
An ally is an ally.
Here and there, but I never missed them burning the bra, especially on the college campuses.
Golly Moses!
But anyway,
Gary, right, listen, good talking to you, man. You have a good evening.
Yeah, you too. And take care. And let me see what my bank account. Right. Let me just. Well, I know I could throw a $50 challenge on the table.
Hey, that's a huge help, man. That'd finish off yesterday if somebody will match it.
And if I can, you know. Well, you know, I'm supposed to be getting. What, $1,200, you know? Who knows? We'll see what happens.
All right, Gary, we'll put that challenge on the table.
Say, you know, put a $50 challenge on the table to get things going here and see if we can't put into the deficit there.
And just, finish March okay. All right, thanks for the challenge. Thank you, Gary. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. It's our buddy Gary calling from New Mexico, labor man. And
He's put a $50 challenge on the table, and that would, if it gets met, that will then in turn finish off yesterday, and we'll only be dealing with today, tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday to finish March. So thank you very kindly, Gary, and thank you to anybody who jumps in to match it and help knock down the deficit. Okay, let's see. Hey, look, it's Billable Rick.
Hey, what's going on, Bob?
What's happening, man?
Oh, I'm at work right now, actually. I'm kind of stuck right now at Stars. my usual schedule was to go from, you know, basically on the weekends. Let me mute that background here, Bob. Okay, hold on a second there. There we go. Yeah, okay, that's better, I think.
Okay, you're fine.
Okay, good. Yeah. So normally the normal schedule is I'm home at my house in L.A. County, like basically Monday night all the way through like Friday morning. And then I leave for work every day. It's like a 50-mile drive each way. And then go back at night. On the weekends, I'm a star in Orange County. And yeah, my son is pretty freaked out about the coronavirus. He was in a an apartment building that may have had somebody who tested positive for COVID down in Irvine. And I helped move him back up to campus on this past Saturday. And so he's taking care of the cats and the dog, and, you know, he's basically by himself in the house, and I'm hanging out, you know, at Star's place. And it's, you know, it's kind of tricky, you know, to know what to do. He doesn't want me to go back and forth between Stars and, you know, and the house. So, I mean, if I, you know, if I leave Stars and then, you know, hang out in L.A. County, I'm likely to be there till around June 1st or whenever this thing, you know, whenever these stay-at-home orders are lifted. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of tough to know what to do. He's deathly afraid of getting infected. He's about to start his spring quarter via online education. So he moved back home. And so I'm kind of in a quandary as to what to do. It's a little bit puzzling as to what to do, Bob, you know?
Yeah. It's a conundrum make West Virginia, great big old Governor Jim Justice had another one of his, babbles today.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting nervous about out-of-staters coming here, foreigners.
Yeah, sure.
And he said, if you're coming now, everything starts with now. Now, if you're coming here from New York or something, I can't legally stop you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But I'm a-telling you, if you come here, you better follow our rules. And it is worrisome because New York is swamped, and we don't have 1/1000th of the medical capacity.
Yeah,
that New York has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys can't afford to have a pandemic breaking out in West Virginia, you know?
I mean, I'm about to the point. I mean, no, I'm past it.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to add Airbnbs to the things that have been shut down in this state.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's anything involving commerce. You know, you've got to shut down. I mean, I was surprised to find out that the local bar that I play pool at was just closed on Tuesday. Apparently, you know, they were opening up in violation of all of the, you know, statewide orders to shut down bars and, you know, what have you, especially if you don't serve food, you know. You know, apparently people were parking their cars like across the street and kind of sneaking in.
Jesus, people.
And the sheriff had to close them down this past Tuesday. So, I mean, they were like open illegally for like over a week.
Well, how fucking pitiful that they had to be shut down, that they couldn't just be good citizens. I don't know, Rick. I'd rethink giving those people my patronage.
Well, yeah, I just go there to play pool league. So they have the only 8-foot pool table in the league. It's pretty shitty, the actual table, but you know it is what it is. But yeah, I only go there because
and of course, stop telling us where to go, where not to go to illegal bars, Bob.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but in my situation, having essentially two residences, it's like, oh, geez, you know. I mean, choosing between your girlfriend or your son, it's like, geez, you know. Tough, you know, very tough. And then my son is afraid of exposing his mom to, you know, to the COVID-19. You know, if he should get sick or if I should bring it into the house, you know. It's a conundrum. There's only three people here in my office and we all have offices like far apart. And, you know, we're observing our social distancing and so forth, as much as we can. It's kind of tough. We actually went to Target, weekend before last and got a karaoke machine. The only reason Target was open is because they sell groceries, you know? So I figured, okay, if I can't go out for karaoke, I bring it to home, you know? So it's been kind of fun trying to play around with that thing. So, it's tough, you know, they've closed all the beaches here finally for a while. I guess last weekend there were a bunch of people, you know, going to the beach in Santa Monica and all up and down
Venice
the coast
and,
you know, yeah. Yeah, Venice, exactly. So the authorities had to, you know, close all the beaches down in L.A., Orange County, probably San Diego County as well. And it really wasn't even much of a beach weekend. It was only maybe 70 degrees with, you know, a lot, mostly cloud cover, you know. But I guess people felt they needed to get out. And, people do kind of go a little stir crazy, Bob. You know, I guess that's the that's one of the challenges. I get to walk around the park with the dog, Star's dog. She's got a German Shepherd. And I went there the other day and chipped some balls. I chipped 10 balls with my 60 wedge. And then it started to rain. And so I said, oh, God damn it. So I was able to chip another 10. And by then it was coming down pretty heavy. And since the dog was tied to the tree, I didn't have any rain gear. I didn't think it was fair to keep doing it, you know? I guess you do what you got to do, Bob, you know? Again, these are first world problems, really, you know?
Yeah, well, but they're problems.
I should say fourth world problems, the way we're going.
like I said the other night, the generation that got through the Depression and World War II faced real privation and real danger.
No doubt.
And it was a terrifying time.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with a disease that you can't, and maybe that's a fundamental failing of the American character. If we can't shoot at it, we can't beat it.
Yeah. It's true.
I mean, even the Saturn V rocket with the Apollo capsule atop it, even that thing, when we were going to the moon, that's just a big bullet.
Mm-hmm. Right. It is. Yeah.
So, you know, if we can't shoot it or fuck it or steal it, we're not very good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, we're not doing so well at combating the COVID as it turns out. We went from what, number 8 in the world to like number 1 in what, a week? How long has it been, Bob, since we were number 8?
Not much more than a week.
Yeah.
And, of course, it reminds me of the opening scene of Idiocracy.
Okay.
Where it talks about, where the narrator talks about the advances made in, you know, surgery to repair penises. As compared to things that really need to get done, and you've got that redneck Cletus there looking at some women going, I'm gonna fuck all of y'all tonight. After having been impaled on a a fence post or something like that. You know, it's remarkable the things that we can do with medical science. I'm going to fuck all of y'all tonight.
Jeez. You know, I still haven't seen that movie. I've heard.
Now's the time.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, and it's actually at this point, it's kind of biographical as opposed to fiction, you know?
No, it's become a goddamn documentary.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, geez. And we just are so ill-equipped. I mean, this is where having an idiot like Trump in office really hurts the country. You just don't have somebody who has any kind of vision, doesn't know how to manage crises, you know? And yeah, we are basically in a war, and we're losing it so far as I can tell, Bob, you know, unfortunately. And I'm afraid that what they're saying in New York now is going to be in California maybe 10 days hence or so.
Oh, that's what the prediction is.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess, I don't know if you mentioned on your program, was it Eric Garcetti predicts that, you know, there'll be the stay-at-home order will be enforced through the end of May at least or something like that?
Right. And see, the other night I caught Lawrence O'Donnell, and he did a segment where he said Donald Trump is not in charge. Right. And he was talking about the fact that the governors are the only ones with the right to open their states back up.
True.
Well, yeah. somebody in Corona Caligula's orbit got wind of that. So okay. They sent out a letter to the governors of the United States saying that he was the one who would classify every county in the nation as low, medium, or high risk.
Mm.
And the White House will, quote, publish new guidelines for state and local policymakers to use in making decisions about maintaining, increasing, or relaxing social distancing and other mm-hmm. mitigation measures they have put in place. Mm. So he's going to try to override the governors in order to open the country back up so that we can have tens of millions dead instead of, you know, a few hundred thousand.
What a moron.
But see, there's a big...
Not more than a moron. He's antisocial.
Well,
and he's psychopathic.
But it's, you know? But once again, it's his followers that do the real damage, Rick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, it's governors in places like Alabama who won't shut down. Mississippi right. that will not shut down.
Yeah.
That are gonna make this thing blaze.
Yeah.
And I'm horribly afraid that I don't know if it's a week or a month, but at some point in the near future, we're going to be sitting here talking to each other saying, Jesus, do you remember when we only had 1,000 dead and 85,000 cases?
Yeah. 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 Like if we're up to 1 million and 10,000 deaths or something like that is what you're talking about.
Right.
Some scenario like that. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's got the authority to countermand, individual governors' orders, stay-at-home orders, unless he declares martial law. And even then, that's, you know, that's fraught with
uncertainty. He would have to federalize the National Guard.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And at that point in time, I'm not sure that the governors of the several states would, or some states at least, would sit still for it, for that happening.
Right. Right. And I think, as you said, I mean, how can you order people back to work against their will when they're afraid of going back to work because of health issues with regard to the COVID-19? You know, I just don't see that as viable, you know, for, you know, it's like, yeah, he wants to open up the economy. It's like, dude, you know, you're not the only one in charge. We have something called a, you know, federal system here. It's divided government between, you know, not just within the federal government, but also as between the federal government and the state government, you know. You know, it's not like we have a, you know, you may think you're the unitary executive. Maybe you are on a federal level, okay, but not as regards, you know, regulating what the individual states want to do, you know. So I guess we'll see what's going on there. I don't know if you saw the post that our friend Tracy posted on Facebook with the pictures of, I guess, tanks that apparently are headed, National Guard tanks that are headed out to the Inland Empire, which is like Riverside, San Bernardino County. And I don't know if that was in connection with training exercises or what it was exactly. So, I mean, we'll have to see what happens here. It's unfortunate, it's unfortunate we don't have
A week ago this evening, mm-hmm. before I had even gotten out of West Virginia, I overtook and passed a military flatbed tractor trailer that was mm-hmm. hauling two Army ambulances somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't being driven in their own right. They were being hauled on a flatbed.
Right. Right. Yeah. 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 So you just have to question all these military movements here. You know, I'm clearly not opposed to the federal government helping, you know, let's say with regard to the military, helping to set up hospitals where they're needed. I know that they're doing that in New York State, you know, with the coordination of the governor there, you know, and, you know, that is entirely acceptable. But if you're going to be overruling what individual state governments are doing, you know, that crosses the line, in my opinion, you know, and how's the federal government going to enforce that? You're going to go to court over that? Is a court going to touch that dispute? I don't think so.
Well, yeah, because somebody can channel their inner Andrew Jackson and say, Chief Justice Marshall has made his ruling. Now let him enforce it.
That's true. Individual state governors could do that, but that even assumes the Supreme Court would touch a case like that. I, you know, you never know with the Roberts Court, but, you know, that's not really an area that you would necessarily want to tread into, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you just say, look, this is a non-justiciable political question, and you guys will have to work it out amongst yourselves, you know?
Right.
Play
and,
nice
and by,
in the sandbox.
And by the way, David in South Carolina Stan just sent a note. Subject line, quarantine Yankees. Now Texas, South Carolina, and Florida are going to quarantine visitors from New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut.
Hmm. Okay.
And that may wind up being where places like West Virginia have to go.
Yeah, maybe so. And that runs smack dab into the middle of the constitutional right of people to travel across state lines. You know, kind of like in the Great Depression, the Okies wanted to move out to California where there was more opportunity to escape the Dust Bowl, that kind of thing. You know, the whole Grapes of Wrath scenario. Except this time it's, you know, the Yankees are going to the, you know, less populated states. And, you know, I suppose in a time of emergency like this, those quarantine orders would probably be upheld by the courts, you know, as a matter of public safety.
Well, here's one more for you, because we're all assuming that the House will pass something mm-hmm. substantially similar to what and you know, it'll get reconciled. It'll go to Trump's desk. It'll get signed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost as though we have forgotten who Republican governors are. What happens, Rick, when a couple of maggot attorneys general sue to invalidate that piece of legislation?
The Coronavirus Relief Act?
Yeah.
I don't know that they're going to get anywhere, Bob, by the time that decision is percolates through the courts. You know, I would think it's going to become a moot point.
Or, there's always injunctive relief.
Yeah, high standard to get that.
I know.
Very high standard.
I know it's But the thing is, and I mean, I'm not picking on you. You're acting like this system is the system you were trained to work in.
Well, that's true. It's not. No, it's not. It kind of reminds me of, you know, you remember the TV series Alien Nation, how everything had changed because aliens had kind of...
right, and there
they
was
were a, in charge along with humans. I love
and,
that.
And suddenly there was a huge market for spoiled milk.
Right, exactly. Right.
Ralph's just sent along a tweet from the Rude Pundit, who is brilliant.
Okay.
Talking about Nitwit Nero's little shit shows.
Mm-hmm.
And Sparky just sent me a note. Oh my God. He's going to the Norfolk Navy base to see the hospital ship Comfort depart to go to New York City.
Hmm.
That's this Saturday.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. God.
Well,
but anyway, yeah. the rude pundit talking about watching his shit show.
Okay.
And Ralph sent this along. Honest to Christ, I can't watch him anymore. It's like seeing a brain-damaged chimp fuck a log over and over, acting all happy while wrecking his dick on a knot hole, and you wonder, why doesn't he stop? But he just keeps fucking away.
Oh, I love that analogy, Bob. That's great.
I mean, it's just so damned true.
It's so on point. It really is. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, how do you think, I think his approval rating in responding to this COVID-19 crisis has actually gone up lately because of these daily, you know, pressers that he's doing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, whether that's going to be lasting, I think it'll all depend on, you know, the number of deaths, unfortunately, you know, and what happens to the economy, what there's going to be. I've heard forecasts that there might be as many as 14 million unemployed people by the summertime. You know, which
we could wind up. We could wind up with more unemployed than we had in the Great Depression. It has been forecast by some to get as high as 30%.
Yeah, yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts. But I mean, it's
the thing is, what we've got to maintain some perspective on this. It's not like this isn't. I mean, this is a. How to put it? This is an engine whose ignition we turned off deliberately.
That's true.
This is not an economic engine that threw a rod.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an economic collapse like the Great Depression, you know, brought on by Republican avarice and cupidity. There's that word again. This is a deliberate act, and what can be stopped can be restarted. Some of this is a matter of patience, and the one sector of this country that has no patience, no courage, no perseverance, no character, no ethics, no morals, is Wall Street. They want what they want, and they want it goddamn now.
Yeah, they do.
They are America's Veruca Salt.
There you go.
I want it now,
exactly.
Daddy.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, they have to have the instant gratification, that whole thing. And that's going to be our downfall as a country eventually, Bob, you know? It's like we don't plan ahead. We just plan quarter to quarter. That's no way to live, you know?
Oh, and by the way, I got a note from Darlene in Connecticut who said, it's not just Trump. The other two branches of government are dysfunctional, too.
Yeah.
She says, I don't trust the stimulus package they're crafting. Do you?
No.
And I'm disinclined to it because, again, Veruca Salt is in charge of crafting it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, Darlene wanted to know, who was the listener that offered the $50 challenge? That was Gary. That was Laborman that I was talking to a few minutes ago. So that challenge
I'll put in 25 towards that, Bob.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Bill Woolridge.
Sure.
I appreciate that.
Sure.
And if we can get another 25 in there, that'll finish off yesterday, and that'll be fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, you know, as far as the, you know, legislature's role in this thing, I mean, I think the Democrats were kind of stuck because, I mean, they voted against the initial Senate bill twice because there were no checks on, you know, the use of that money by corporations as far as buying back their shares. I don't think there are any checks in that regard anymore. But what I guess they did is they got a concession that none of the money can go to Trump.
Well, I think it was Ron and Raleigh who pointed it out before, just slightly before airtime. He said, you know, we're chumps because what we're saying is, you know, no, you can't just give money to the Trumps. But of course, the Trumps own minority interests in all kinds of corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Where they don't show up at the top of the list, but if that company gets a huge influx of cash, some of it is going to wind up filtering into the Trump into Trump pockets.
Right, and we don't know the extent of their holdings in stock because Trump's tax returns are still under seal, despite the clear directive in the Internal Revenue Code that the head of the taxation committee in the Senate, or is it maybe the Finance Committee? Maybe it's the Senate Finance Committee, shall be able to obtain those records, as well as the head of the House Committee, which I think is Pascrell, I think is. Is it Pascrelli or is it Pascrell?
Pascrell.
Bill Pascrell. He's the guy who's been pounding on, you know, getting those returns disclosed. So we're sort of in the blind here. Yeah, Ron is totally correct.
What Ron said in particular is, mm-hmm. sometimes I'm ashamed. Once again, the Republicans are playing Lucy with the football to the Democrats, Charlie Brown. The Democratic Party doesn't seem to be able to strike a fair deal when it comes to cash. The Republicans have once again backed an armored car up to the Treasury and loaded up. Corporations and cronies are going to make out like the bandits they are. Remember how the Democrats touted the fact that Trump and the rest of his grifter family couldn't get any of the largesse? The fact that they only own minority shares of companies and properties, they will bypass those requirements. And Steve Mnuchin will be able, without oversight, to dole out tons of cash to the airline, cruise ship, and other essential industries. I believe that most people in Congress have no idea of how unemployment compensation works. Here in North Carolina, the rules put in place after the Great Recession cut the length of time to draw unemployment down to 13 weeks, and the highest amount you could draw down to $350. Yet the Republicans are whining that that's just too much money, and it'll de-incentivize work. Working people will get the fuzzy end of the lollipop. That's a great phrase. Working people will get the fuzzy end of the lollipop. Bernie's out there calling bullshit on the whole thing, yet no word from Grandpa Joe failed again.
Okay, he deserves a cowbell for the fuzzy end of the lollipop.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
No, you're right. They haven't figured out. I mean, you know, in chaos, Republicans can steal. I mean, that's kind of to borrow an idea from Randy Rhodes, which he probably got from Naomi Klein, you know, the whole disaster capitalism idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, in difficult times, you know, the thieves basically.
Well, I mean, I had a small business owner on the program last night.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Lewis Reinhardt, who runs Secret Sandwich Society.
He sounds like a cool dude.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
And he's done a wonder. I neglected to mention, and I should have, Secret Sandwich has been written up in the New York Times, Southern Living, Garden and Gun, Mountain Getaway Monthly. I mean, I think they've been in the L.A. Times for just what a cool little place it is.
Yeah,
and he's going to need help. He's going to need to be able to keep his business on in some sort of stasis so that it can come back to life when the shit is over.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's going to need to apply for an SBA loan.
And so,
I mean,
you know what? But you know, I'm a socialist. I'd like to just give him some money so he doesn't have to sweat a note payment.
somewhere mm-hmm. down the road. Yeah. You know what
I
I'm
agree.
Saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I want him to have that kind of cash. But and small business owners all across the country, I want us to keep them afloat.
Yeah.
But the problem is,
don't keep them afloat, you're fucked.
The way we define small business can include a multi tens of million dollar a year a defense contractor.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as the number of employees don't cross a certain threshold.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, we need to be talking about doing things. You've heard the term for the duration, haven't you? You know, that comes from the Second World War. You know, you were signed up for the duration. You were drafted for the duration.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And we need to be talking about supporting the economy for the duration, because mm-hmm. there are things out there that we're not paying attention to, namely one, the now predictable, almost with certainty, second spike that comes as soon as you relax standards.
Right. Just ask Singapore.
Exactly.
China.
Yeah. And so yeah. This is, you know, this could go on. And I know people just go, oh, please, no. You know, that stupid fucker wants the churches packed on Easter.
Oh, my God.
Fuck. Maybe Easter next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, those are some of the realities.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
And plagues have a way of changing cultures.
Yeah, right.
And if we would like to have them not be changes that create massive horrors, then we damned well need to make sure that the people we have to take care of get taken care of, again, for the duration.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Indeed. Got to do that. I'm kind of half surprised that the crazy fucker hasn't mandated that the Major League Baseball start its opening day on schedule, which would be like what, the end of March or early April.
Well, he'd like to he'd like to do that, but
of course
again,
he would.
He doesn't have the power. Remember when he was so stupid that he said, "I know which time," but he said,
"I have an Article 2 that lets me do anything I want."
Right. Yeah, exactly. He's the chief law enforcement officer, right?
I guess I really am.
Oh, and an update. So Darlene jumped in and finished off the rest of Laborman's challenge, Gary's, and then said, I'll match the other half of Laborman's challenge, and then as a sort of a relay race, I'll offer a $75 challenge. Let's do a relay of challenges to whoever's game. So Darlene would like somebody to match her $75, and for the person matching her $75 to turn that into a challenge as well to get us to where we're not, where we're, you know, out of the hole. So thank you. Thank you very kindly, Darlene. Thank you, Gary. And thank you, Billable Rick.
Absolutely.
And since we're kind of at the end, we're past the end of the program. And so what we'll do is we'll pass that along for the overnight crew. And hopefully tomorrow's fundraising goal will only be maybe, well, let's see, that finished off yesterday. So that means we've got, let's see, it was 300, so that's 200. And if Darlene's challenge gets met, that'll take us down to 250 for tomorrow. So there we go.
Okay.
By the way, Sparky is predicting a kick-ass Friday on the front porch tomorrow.
Well, Sparky knows these things. Yes. Yeah, he does.
Indeed. Well, Billable, awesome. You know, I'm sorry about the billiards.
That's okay. You know, that's a small price to pay. You got to sacrifice something. And hell, who knows? Maybe if I decide I have to quarantine myself in LA County, I'll somehow figure out how to put a pool table in my garage so I can do something.
Yeah, it's
besides just karaoke.
Giving up billiards is not quite on the same par with, getting strafed by a Focke-Wulf 190. So,
right, exactly.
Perspective is everything.
It is. It is for sure. For sure. All right, Bob. Well, it's been a nice conversation. Thanks so much. I hope you and Agnes and Ferg and the rest of the family are doing well and staying healthy.
Well, we're trying. I'm trying to cut my grocery store runs and things like that, and just keep it to a minimum. Someday, this is just one of those little things that drives you nuts. Back before this really got bad, I bought 2 bottles of hand sanitizer.
Okay.
Can't find them.
Yeah, amazing.
I can't find the 2 bottles that I bought and brought into the house.
What?
I can't find it. It's driving me nuts.
Did the cats hide it, Bob?
I think it's about the cats.
It's always about the cats.
Always, yes. Bill, well, you take care, brother.
Hey, you too, and hopefully your toilet paper and towels are secure, the supply. I have, I'm probably going to have to wake up at like 3 in the morning one day and just park out in Costco early on to get some more, eventually, the way these
people think we've got, I counted, I think we've got, 18 rolls.
Well, you're okay. I'm probably down to, a dozen. I'm not sure. I have to ask Star. So.
Oh, golly. Well,
yeah,
we'll talk. Hope you'll be there tomorrow evening for the front porch, and we'll yammer some more then.
Sounds great. Take care, Bob.
All right. Later, Billable Rick.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
Bye. And so we come to the close of the program, leaving a challenge on the table for the overnight crew. Of $75, which should then, which Darlene would then like to turn into a relay race, to try to get us all, knock everything down. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you, Labor Man. Thank you, Billable, for jumping in. Thanks so very much. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. I mention it every night because it is so. Well, it's not just it's inspiring. Your determination to keep this going. Thank you. And thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, no matter how you so choose to do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and the work continues. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.